Welcome to Benefits, What, Like It's Hard? The podcast that breaks down the truths and misconceptions about all things benefits. Not only do we talk about what you should know about the benefits offered to you through your employer, but we also tackle topics on physical and financial wellness. I mean, come on, what more could you want from a podcast? Join me, Libby Allison, each week to hear from people just like you sharing their own experiences and experts giving us the inside scoop on the information we need to be successful.
Hello, everyone. Today, we are going to be talking about dependent care FSAs. We have talked about this before on the podcast, but we have someone new talking about it today, so she will bring a fresh perspective, and there's also been some changes that we want to address around these accounts. You guys should remember Amanda Hall from past podcasts. She is here today, and we are lucky because we got her just in time before she has a baby. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Libby. Yep, I'm about to go out with baby number two in a few weeks, hopefully. I'm counting down the days.
I purposely squeezed you in so that we could get this podcast before you're out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about this because dependent care FSA accounts, we personally utilize them, but also just in conversations that I've had with other individuals, there are a lot of misconceptions about them, and a lot of times people don't fully understand how to use them or how they'll benefit from them. So I'll be excited to share how we've benefited from them.
Yeah, awesome. I think a lot of the times in my experience, people don't really understand any type of, so a dependent care FSA is a type of flexible spending account. And I think in general, people don't understand how those accounts work.
Those are a little complicated. Yeah, I agree. They're kind of ran to an extent by all these IRS regulations. So not a whole lot of people are super interested in reading the fine print of that. So we'll be happy to share with your viewers a high level overview of the key features of these types of accounts so that people can decide if it makes sense for them.
Yeah. So let's start by recapping, what exactly is a dependent care FSA?
Sure. So dependent care FSA or flex spend account is a pre-tax benefit account that you can use to pay for eligible dependent care services. So it's only for individuals whose employer offers them this type of account as part of their benefits program. So this is not an account that if your employer doesn't offer it, you can't just go out and open one for yourself in the marketplace. It has to be sponsored by your employer. So if your employer does offer it, that's great. You can withhold agreed upon amounts from your paycheck, and then that would fund the FSA account itself. Now, of course, there are certain restrictions to this. So obviously, you have to have earned income. If it's going through your employer, I would hope that you're not working for free for your employer. There are some additional restrictions for if you're considering a child as the dependent. There are some specific restrictions for parents who are divorced, separated, or living apart. You'll just want to make sure you're aware of those. And then FSAs differ a little bit from health savings accounts in the sense that an FSA, a dependent care FSA, has a use it or lose it policy. So if you contribute $2,000 this year and you don't reimburse for that full $2,000 by the deadline, you lose whatever is left. So it's really important with these types of accounts to make sure that you're only contributing what you're going to actually need to reimburse yourself for your expenses. That's something that sometimes people get a little confused about, or they don't realize, and then they get really upset when their money doesn't roll over to the next year and it's just kind of gone, which I would be upset about that too. So Right. It's just really important to understand that if you're utilizing a dependent care FSA, only contribute the amount that you know you'll be able to use for those expenses.
Yeah, and that actually is true of all types of flexible spending accounts.
People tend to make their mind lump together health savings accounts and flex spend accounts, and there are some pretty significant differences between the two. It's definitely important to understand that key difference. So then let's talk about who qualifies as the dependent in the dependent care FSA, because this is an area where I think people are a little surprised sometimes. Dependent doesn't just mean your kids. So if you do have children under the age of 13, then they would qualify as an eligible dependent to reimburse expenses from. But also, if your spouse is unable to work or care for him or herself, and they lived with you for more than half of the year, then you can reimburse. They could be considered a dependent for this type of account purposes. It could also, it doesn't have to be your spouse. It could also be another adult dependent who is unable to care for him or herself. And for if you claim them as a dependent exemption on your taxes. So a lot of times this could be like a family member that lives with you who has special mental or physical needs or restrictions that inhibits them from being able to work and you care for them. They could, if you have expenses related to their care so that you can then go work, then that would count as an eligible covered dependent for these purposes. So it's really kind of three different key ways that you can utilize this account depending on your situation. So do be aware of that. It's not just for people with kids, with young kids in daycare.
Yeah, and I think that another important piece that people miss, I think it happens to people who don't have ever heard of a dependent care account or don't really understand what it's for, but I've heard of people electing a dependent care account and they aren't able to use the funds because they have older dependents or they don't have any services that they can use the dependent care FSA for. I think a lot of times they see dependent care FSA and they think, oh, it's just an FSA for my dependents, but that's not true. This is for like daycare type expenses. This is not for like medical expenses for your dependents.
Correct. So there are certain eligible expenses, and then which I'll talk through real quick, like some of what those key ones are. But you can find an entire list, obviously, on the IRS website. It's publication 503. It's child and dependent care expenses. And there's a whole list there of what is covered. But it would cover things like physical care, which that might apply if you had like a family member or your spouse who was disabled or something like that, and you had to pay for someone to come in and provide certain types of physical care so that you could work. It does include in-home care, like you were talking about, Libby. So a nanny or a babysitter or an au pair. It could be daycare, whether that's for a child or adult daycare expenses. But just so everyone's aware, it does have to be a qualified caregiver. So if you are paying a babysitter and you're not filing that through, you're not doing that above board and you're kind of paying someone under the table, you cannot then reimburse yourself for those expenses. So if you do have a nanny, if you do have a babysitter, make sure that you are actually filing that properly on your taxes and paying the taxes for it so that you can utilize this benefit to offset those costs.
I think for the sake of this podcast, we just need to say too, like, you should be doing that in general.
Don't hide any money.
Not just because.
From the government.
You want a dependent care FSA. But we know what happens, so just keep that in mind.
Yeah. It does also cover summer day camps. Now, it doesn't cover overnight summer camps, so there's a differentiator there. So keep that in mind. And then before and after school care programs, it covers those. You can also utilize it to reimburse expenses that you incur for like application fees and deposits that are required for obtaining care, but you can only utilize it for that if you actually then go through that care provider, if the care is actually set up. So if you're trying to secure a spot at like 10 different daycares and you put down a deposit at all 10 and then you only use one of them, you can only reimburse yourself for the expenses of the one that you actually sought care through. And then another one that sometimes comes up is transportation provided by a caregiver. So if you're kind of paying for that, you can also reimburse for that expense. Some things that do not count when it comes to education. Once they kind of hit that state-sponsored education level, you can't write off any of those expenses anymore, or reimburse yourself, I should say, from this account for those expenses. So once they hit kindergarten, if they're going through summer school, if you're paying for them to get tutoring, regular school tuition, that can't be reimbursed. That's not an eligible expense. And then also, like, if they're taking music lessons or they're on a school sports team or club sports team or something like that, those definitely don't count. It's really just those expenses that are essential so that you can continue to work.
Got it.
So one thing that I did want to mention to everybody, because this is the first year in a while that the limits that you can contribute have changed. Typically, you know, when we started 2021, it was, you know, the same limit had been for several years before. You could contribute up to $5,000 into a dependent care FSA for single parents and then married couples filing jointly, which is cut in half if you're married and filing separately. So just keep that in mind if you file a little unorthodox. But due to the recent passing of the American Rescue Plan, which is the most recent COVID relief bill that was signed into law in March, the limit has actually gone up for this year. So the limit increased from $5,000 for married couples filing jointly up to $10,500 for the year. So that's a huge increase. That's more than doubled. And I can speak from personal experiences that even with just my one child, I have more than $10,500 of childcare expense in any given year. and, you know, we're adding another kid here in just a few short weeks. So we're really excited the fact that this has increased that limit of what we can contribute, because that's an extra $5,500 of my income that we will be able to not have to pay taxes on.
Right.
So I will just tell people, typically with the dependent care FSAs, you can only set up how much you want to contribute for any given year during your company's open enrollment, unless you have some sort of qualifying life event, like you had a birth or adoption of a child, you got married, you got divorced, those types of things. Because of this recent COVID relief bill that was just signed, obviously those are special circumstances. So I would just tell everybody, keep your eyes out for a special enrollment period opening at your company, or some sort of announcement from your company with instructions for how to adjust those current contributions. Because I imagine that is coming.
Yeah. And is that limit, like, that's not just for 2021? They're planning on that going forward, or do we not know?
Right now, we don't know. There were some other aspects of the American Rescue Plan that a lot of people would like to see continue. But at this time, it's not long-term. So I wouldn't say to count on being able to do that same $10,500 next year until we see some additional legislature come through to support it.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say, though, I mean, it's been that $5,000 max contribution limit has been in effect for several years and has not changed. Whereas I think anyone who's out there who has dependent and dependent care expenses can say those expenses just keep going up. So I would say that it's supported. The need is there for it to increase, but I just don't know if it's going to be a permanent increase after this year.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's been that amount since I started at Horan, which was 5 years ago. So
it's been that amount for a very long time. I don't have the exact year in front of me, but I do know it's been that way for a long time. So,
yeah. What else should someone consider if they're thinking about picking up a dependent care FSA?
So there are some situations where you may not necessarily benefit from it. So I would always just say when it comes to these special tax benefit type of accounts, you'll always want to speak with a tax advisor to discuss how it's going to impact you and your expenses, your taxes specifically. It is a good idea to compare the potential tax benefits of a dependent care FSA with the child and a dependent care tax credit. So just to give you guys an example, we maxed out our contributions to the dependent care FSA for 2020, which was $5,000. The child and dependent care tax credit per child was $2,000 last year. Well, we only had one child. So utilizing the dependent care FSA and being able to reduce our income by $5,000 was more beneficial than not using it and taking the $2,000 tax credit when we filed. However, if we had three children and we would have gotten $2,000 tax credit for each of them, the dependent care FSA might not have made sense because we could only utilize the $5,000 from that. Whereas if we had three children at $2,000 each, that would have been $6,000 that we could have used as a tax credit. So it does depend a little bit on the size of your family, how many dependents you have, how much you guys are making, things like that. So I would just always suggest talk to a tax advisor if you're not sure if it would make sense for you. But, you know, in our case, it definitely made sense to max out that benefit. And I will tell you, last year, we started the year with our son in daycare and all through the first quarter, and then March hit and everything shut down. And we had no child care for 6 weeks while me and my husband were both working from home exclusively with our two-year-old. Actually, he wasn't even two yet then. He was like one and a half, so he was even needier. And we were having to juggle still working full-time, both of us, while also watching him at the same time. So about 6 weeks into that, we realized that, well, if the child care, all the centers are closed, then the teachers aren't working right now. So we reached out to one of our son's old daycare teachers and asked if she could come help us out until the centers opened up again. And she did. And then eventually we actually ended up taking her on as our full-time nanny. So we just have her here at the house now, and we pay her by the books. Everything is above board. We get to use the benefits of the FSA. But I say this because it works out well for us because we get to offset the cost of her. But I also want everybody to be aware of that we had daycare expenses at the beginning of the year, and then we had nanny expenses for the second half of the year. And so we were able to reimburse with both. So even if you have multiple types of care, independent care, you can reimburse yourself for all of those expenses. You just want to do it legally.
Right.
And one final thing that I think a lot of people don't realize that they can do, you can actually file for the reimbursement at the beginning of the year. If you know for a fact that you're going to have the $5,000 or in this year's case, the $10,500 of dependent care related expenses, you can actually submit that reimbursement through a form that you have signed off by that, by the institution that you're using for the services, or your nanny, in my case. And you can submit that claim for the full amount so that each time that you're getting paid, you actually get whatever you contributed into that account automatically deposited back into your checking account. So the account balance is essentially always zero, if that makes sense, as opposed to letting it build up throughout the year and then submitting one big reimbursement at the end of the year. I like to do it this way because I don't really feel like the money I'm deferring to that account, I'm missing for my paycheck. It kind of just funnels out of my paycheck tax free and then into that dependent care without being taxed, and then back into my bank account without being taxed. So I get to keep my money with me all the time, and it's not sitting off in some account until the end of the year when I file a form.
Yeah. It's kind of similar to making sure like just your tax withholdings are what they should be so that you're not giving the government just a loan and then getting a tax refund when you do your taxes.
Which some people like. So if that's the way you like to do it, I don't know. If that's the way you like to do it, you can absolutely let that account just build up throughout the year and then submit an expense reimbursement. I don't know. I just like having my money.
It's a tough one when I think about that would be a tough decision for me. I don't have any kids, but because it's almost like you're saving up and then you get a present at the end. Like, I love getting my tax return every year.
Yeah. And I like when our taxes break even, or we just get a little bit back. Because it means I did it right throughout the year. So we're perfect examples of the opposite perspectives of this. So listeners out there, you can either go my way or Libby's way. Just as long as you're submitting your reimbursement and not losing your money, you're great.
Yes. Make sure you do that because you will lose it. Like we said, that's probably the most important thing is making sure that before the end of the year, if you haven't taken the money out of the account, you submit for that money. Otherwise, you will lose it.
And I have heard stories of people not doing that appropriately. That would just be devastating.
Yeah.
So if you are a forgetful person, maybe do it my way, where you submit the claim up front. And that way you don't have to worry about the deadline.
Right. Well, anything else?
I don't think so. I mean, we kind of covered all the key points there. I'll just reiterate that the limits have changed for 2021. So, if you're utilizing this account already, just keep that in mind that there should be some kind of communication coming down from your employer. If you don't hear anything soon from them, I will say reach out to them, directly and ask them how you can increase that contribution limit. Because if you're paying for more than $5,000 in childcare expenses and you're using the dependent care FSA you'll want to potentially take advantage of that full amount that you can do this year.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, thank you for being here, Amanda. Always love to have you on the podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. And probably the next time anybody hears from me, I'll be an exhausted mom of two.
See you next time. Nothing we say in this podcast is representative of any specific plan and should not be construed as legal, regulatory, or accounting advice. If there is any discrepancy between what we say and your plan document will always